Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in? We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe, Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We invite you to participate in our monthly conference call that takes place the last Sunday of the month. Via Sign of the Times and New Power Radio Network in the UAC. If you would like more information on those conference calls, please email us at signothetimes19@gmail.com or feel free to reach out to us on Facebook. My Facebook page is Queen Tahira, Vanessa Sparks, as well as New Power Radio Network, Sign of the Times, and the UAC. We also ask that you please support our sponsors, Manhood Racing Culture. You can find Manhood Racing Culture on Facebook, where Dr. James Jones is the president director there. Reach out to him as James Jones, as well as on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also, please support Arlie Gordon and Unity Divine, and Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. Reach out to him on Facebook as Arlie Gordon and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. So tonight we have the honor of having a friend of mine, sister friend of mine, that I met during turbulent time in Cincinnati, Kelly, who's a candidate for the Senate for the state of Ohio. Peace, Kelly. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? Hold on, let me.
Thank you for calling in tonight. We appreciate
it. Okay, is that better, Vanessa?
Much better.
Okay. I had to kind of get away from the background noise. I'm in a town. I was actually leaving a town hall meeting, but you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Ashe, so you were traveling today. You were at a college in Northern Ohio today?
I was at a college in Northern Ohio last night. And so essentially what happens is I'm from county to county daily. I normally go through at least three or four counties a day with the campaign, since I am running for the U.S. Senate. And so I have to get out of Cincinnati.
Ashe, ashe. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Kelly, for those who are interested to get to know you and have seen you, you know, campaigning and may not be aware even that there are alternate candidates for U.S. Senate. So tell us about you. What inspired you to get involved in the political climate?
Well, Vanessa, as you indicated, I am a candidate for the United States Senate. I'm excited because I'll be the first female and the first African-American to ever represent the great state of Ohio. I'm an occupational therapist and a minority business owner, and I'm also a civil rights and social justice activist. I've worked tirelessly behind the scenes in politics for the past 25 years, and in the early 90s, I was a member of the city's charter committee, which essentially wrote the charter, which is the constitution for Cincinnati, Ohio. My platform is centered around healthcare, public safety, education, and economic inclusion. Although I was born and raised in Cincinnati, I lived outside of Ohio for 9 years in New York City. And while in New York City, I owned and operated a professional occupational therapy corporation and was very involved in the civic and political arena in New York City. I worked with the Attorney General Cuomo in New York with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, detecting fraud and abuse in the Medicare system. So I've been extremely busy behind the scenes in politics. And now in the current social climate, the way that, you know, things are going in the system, and because every system is broken, I feel that I am the epitome of what's actually needed to correct the problems in the system. So I'm excited to be in this race. As an African-American woman and with the social problems that we face as African-Americans, it's my pleasure to just be a representative from our culture to bring about the changes that are needed.
That sounds great. Now, you have a very lengthy history with being involved in advocating for people who, you know, are economically and a lot of the times politically challenged. So what makes you different than some of the other candidates that are out here saying basically, you know, kind of some of the same things? What makes you different?
Well, the major difference is we've never had a female or African-American senator for the state of Ohio. And we need, the government is supposed to reflect the people that it serves. And so essentially I'm the missing element. The thing that makes me different is I've had personal, professional, and political experience that adds to my ability to be an effective legislator. So I believe that I'm being led to do this for all the right reasons, and I am what is actually needed. So that's the difference. In terms of fighting for justice, the other opponents, from what I've observed, they've never been on the front lines dealing with any of the issues that we're facing, from a civil rights standpoint. And so the unique quality that I bring as a lifetime member of the NAACP is that I have a proven track record of standing up for the rights in an unpaid position. So you know that, you know, this is not about a position, a title, or a paycheck for me. This is a passion. And so who better to help the system than someone who has been through the system and who knows what's wrong in the system and who has a passion to correct all that's wrong in the system.
Shay, I believe that you will be a very good representative for the state of Ohio, and you know, we in Cincinnati here support you 100%. Now, the platform that you've offered involves education, health, economic inclusion, and public safety. Now, how would you prioritize the things that, you know, you would address as a U.S. Senate representative?
From a civil rights standpoint, my primary goal will be to work on those key areas, which, again, are healthcare, public safety, education, and economic inclusion, to close the gaps in those areas. I want to increase racial equity and socioeconomic equity so that we can dismantle some of these monopolies to keep marginalized or disenfranchised populations oppressed. Healthcare, especially, I have a passion for healthcare. As a matter of fact, from a Democratic standpoint, I am a huge supporter of the Affordable Care Act. Just to tell you a little bit about myself, and you may know, you may have heard this before. From a legislative standpoint, I have, from a healthcare standpoint, I'm sorry, Vanessa, we have like 10 things going on right now. From a legislative standpoint, as far as Affordable Care Act, I support the Affordable Care Act because my parents essentially had to separate when I was younger because I was born during the time when we had lifetime maximums, and my family had to separate so that my family could get public assistance, so that my family could receive public assistance and pay for my health concerns. So that's why I support the Affordable Care Act. And then in terms of education, I am a product of the Cincinnati public school system, and I know what's wrong in that system. In terms of public safety, I am a gun violence survivor, and I've also had nephews who were murdered just since the fact of violence. So I want to work on judicial criminal justice reform, judicial reform, and address prosecutor misconduct.
Now, you traveled the state of Ohio, and you said that you travel in counties. Now it's getting down to crunch time because the voting cycle primary takes. So, you know, if those who are able to can go out and vote early, that would be great. Go out and vote for Kelly on the 15th of March. Kelly, what are some similarities that you're seeing in the what are some of the similarities that you're seeing, and what are some of the concerns people have continued to bring up?
Some of the concerns that people have continued to bring up are police brutality, the issues with police brutality. That is a major issue. And as you know, Vanessa, in 2001, I was on the front lines when Timothy Thomas was murdered here in Cincinnati, fighting for justice for that case. I'm also a member of the Justice for Judge Tracy Hunter campaign. I'm a member of the Justice for Sam DuBose campaign. And so I am very passionate about that, and I'm fighting vehemently to ensure that they do receive justice for their families, and so that, you know, we're not going to continue to be subjected to those incidents in the future. And that's one of the things that make me different from the other opponents or the opposition, because they would never touch those topics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw a big hush from the city when Brother Sam was murdered by University of Cincinnati police officer. And that's actually what brought us together. What were some of the things that you experienced on a personal level that made you sure that your help was needed in that area? What did you see that was the most concern for you?
The thing that made me know that I'm most needed in that area is the fact that no one was speaking up. Individuals felt powerless and hopeless, and they lacked direction. So the fact that I was on the front lines and willing to speak out in terms of the injustices, and that a lot of the community members were coming to me specifically or directly asking for help, That is what reassured me that I am what's needed in the community. And in 2005, I did leave Cincinnati. I left Ohio and moved to New York. And when I came, returned back to Ohio in 2014, and I saw that the injustices basically were worse or the same, and in a lot of instances worse with the shooting of Tamir Rice in Cleveland, you know, it reiterated the fact that I am needed in the community.
That's right. Now, in the Just for Tracy Hunter campaign, those who are outside of the city of Cincinnati may be unfamiliar with that. Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yes, in terms of the Justice for Judge Tracy Hunter, Judge Hunter was the first African-American judge who was elected to serve in the Hamilton County Juvenile Court System. She's over a $30 million budget, and essentially the establishment wanted to get her off of the bench or have her removed from the bench so that they could control the system and facilitate the school-to-prison pipeline. As you know, in the school system after the third grade, if students can't read, they're characterized as good candidates for the school-to-prison pipeline, which essentially feeds the adult prison system once they become labeled as lifetime criminals. So Judge Tracy Hunter was fighting tirelessly to decrease or to eliminate the school-to-prison pipeline. She worked to have students or remove shackling of students when they were in public, and she also worked to just shed some light on the injustices in that system. So she's an intricate part of judicial reform or criminal reform, and we're working to get her back in her seat, because currently, you know, she was criminalized and she was pushed off of the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and folks can always, look up Judge Tracy Hunter as well if you want to find out how to get involved. And I believe there's a Facebook page for Judge Hunter, too, isn't there, Kelly?
Yes, there is. It's called A Coalition for a Just Cincinnati. Judge Tracy Hunter, you spell it T-R-A-C-I-E, Hunter. She's on Facebook, and there is also a Hunt for Justice 4040 page says I'm designated for Judge Tracy Hunter.
All right. Well, Kelly, I know that you are pressed for time, and I'm not going to hold you for the entire 2 hours tonight, but I really want to get an idea from you on your views on mass incarceration and some of the issues that you know need to be addressed in that area.
Okay, in terms of mass incarceration, Black and brown boys, specifically Black boys and Black men, are disproportionately incarcerated. I am actually a product of the era where we had the initial failed war on drugs. I know how drugs got transmitted or how they got into our communities systematically, and how, you know, the system fed young Black boys like they were feeding kids in a candy shop. You know, gave them an opportunity to make money like never before. They became overnight successes, and the girls were attracted to them. You know, we do have some handsome young men, but the girls were attracted to them primarily because they were able to meet needs that they were never able to meet before. So what happened is, you know, it was like a stimulus package for the hood. The boys had an opportunity to make money, and then all of a sudden they started incarcerating them. And so essentially what happened is our family systems were destroyed, our family structures, they were pulled out of the community, incarcerated, and we have the broken homes that we have now. So I, being a product of that era, knowing exactly how it happens and looking at it from an institutional racism and institutionalized racism standpoint, as a civil rights activist, I'm going to work tirelessly to repeal or enact laws that's going to contribute to justice and get a lot of the individuals out of those systems and keep them from being criminalized the way that they are. So I am really big on criminal justice reform, prison reform, judicial reform. Just recently I visited Warren Correctional Institution in Butler County to address the issues. And so in terms of going around to different prisons and campaigning, although they cannot vote for me, they can let their family members know that I am on the ballot, and that will be one of my first initiatives to change just the culture of institutionalized racism that lead to mass or excessive incarceration. Also, in terms of reentry. I know that community reentry programs, the way that they're set up is normally 90 days prior to release, inmates get services. However, those systems are failing. So one thing that I definitely want to implement is pre-reentry programming and family counseling. Because, again, what happens is, you know, you have individuals who are supporting family members off of income from illegal activity. And so family members need to know that once their family member returns home, returns to the community, they're not going to be the same, and they can't expect the same level of support financially from that person. So I think we need pre-reentry programming to address the family's needs as well as the individual's needs. So that's one of the main initiatives. So, you know, I'm really happy that President Obama did go ahead and reverse some of the offenses or work to get, like, I believe 6,000 inmates released into the community for low-level drug offenses. So I want to continue his legacy and work to assist a lot of individuals who are incarcerated to return to transition to the community successfully to decrease the recidivism rate.
That sounds really good, Kelly. I know we work with the Free Alabama Movement, and we've implemented the Free Ohio Movement. And even here in Hamilton County, some of the conditions that our incarcerated brothers and sisters are being subjected to are, you know, are very inhumane. And so I know from experience that that's what you need help in. Do you anticipate actually getting some of the principles involved?
Do I anticipate? I'm sorry, you kind of blanked out. Do I anticipate what, Vanessa?
Do you anticipate getting some of the incarcerated citizens involved as well?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I am in contact with individuals from Lebanon Correctional Institution, Warren Correctional Institution, the Ohio State Penitentiary, and hopefully I can get in touch with either someone from one of the female or the institution where we house female inmates and get them involved as well. So I would love to have inmates intricately involved through the email system and just having their family members request that I go into the facility. So, yes, I would love to have that opportunity.
Ashe, Ashe. Kelly, let people know what assistance do you need between now and the 15th to really get folks out to vote during the primary, and how can people contact you if they wanted to donate to your campaign or become a volunteer?
I am on Facebook, so I'm highly visible on Facebook, Kelly with an I, K-E-L-L-I, Prather. I have a public figure page, Kelly Prather for U.S. Senate, on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. I have a website. It's Kelly with an I for U.S. Senate 2016.com. That's Kelly for U.S. Senate 2016.com. You can email me. My email address is votekelly2016@gmail.com. And I'm also available via phone. If anyone's really sincerely interested in helping and want to hit the ground running to get the message out, to let people know that I am actually the best candidate who represents the people, the everyday person, they can call me. 513-800-0746 is my number. That's 513-800-0746.
Ashe, Ashe. Okay, so callers, if you have any questions for Kelly, please push one now. If not, Kelly, again, you know, I appreciate you taking this part of the dialogue tonight to be here, because I know that you're busy. So, folks, if you could go on to the New Power Radio Network page, Queen Tahira page, visit Kelly's page, and share. Kelly, one last question. How are you making sure that the media is giving you equal airtime? Because I've been seeing a lot of stories, and, you know, they don't necessarily give a big plug to the campaign, which they, you know, are obligated to, from what I understand. So is there any checks and balances there? How much support have you gotten from mass media?
Well, in terms of the mainstream media, from what I understand historically, they are not receptive to African-American candidates. Again, we are plagued, our system is plagued by institutionalized racism. As a matter of fact, our system is plagued by isms, period, classism, racism, sexism. And unfortunately, I am disproportionately affected by that. However, mainstream media is now, they are now being more receptive to me now that, you know, they see that, hey, in the polls, my ratings are going up. I am getting the support on, you know, the grassroots efforts that I've put forth in my campaign, my small team member, group of team members have put forth. So I thank God for you, Vanessa, because it's the Blog Talk Radio shows. It's the underground market that is really pushing my agenda because you know me personally. And so you know where my heart is. So I thank God for you. But, you know, honestly, it's just been a really hard-fought effort, a hard-fought uphill battle because they're not receptive. Until I debated one of my primary opponents, and I did really well. You know, I'm trying to be humble and say I did well, but people said that, you know, I just outlined, you know, the fact where I stood my ground and I illustrated that I am the best candidate. Until that took place, you know, they were not paying attention. They didn't take my candidacy seriously. However, the people were pushing me forward, and I appreciate that. So, you know, I know that on the surface, you know, they say that they're supposed to be fair and in terms of giving the same amount of publicity, but that in reality, that's not how mainstream media works. So again, I thank God for outlets such as yours. And so I'll make myself available to come back on the show when I'm not as busy. But I am actually, as you can hear in the background, I'm actually conducting two events at once. But this is my life, so I appreciate the exposure.
Ashe, we appreciate you too, sis. And, you know, we got your back here in Cincinnati and on Sign of the Times, and we're going to push this thing as far as we can take it because we definitely believe in you, and we know that you've seen our side, if you will, of the grass being green. So thanks again, Kelly. Hey, everybody, we're going to let Kelly go so she can go back to campaign, wish her well. We love her, and we appreciate her and the time and dedication that it takes. Listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Kelly.
Are you
You're welcome.
Hey, are we still on the air or can we?
Thank you.
Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Today is Thursday, and on Thursdays, we always have Goddess Speak, which is a combination of an effort between Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, New Power Radio Network, the Pan-African Intelligence Network, and the Royal Family Network. Tonight, I planned on having Kelly on for the entire time, but she was actually triple booked. So if anyone wants to make a comment about what they heard as far as Kelly's campaign, if you wanted to talk about the political climate, not only in the nation, but in your particular city, feel free to push one. If not, then I might take advantage of this opportunity to take a break tonight. So I'm going to play, let me see. I think I will play a little bit of this. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Listen to the lyrics.
Here we go.
We are the ones prophesied to return. My main concern is for all of you to learn how to live. Yes, through the lyrics I give and send, my friend, this age is coming to an end. Not the world, but the age is ending. Listen to the astrological message I'm sending.
Tell them.
Truth is truth, whether or not you like me. We are living now in the age of Pisces. But Pisces is over at the year 2000, when the Son of God changes his house and enters the age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
The Son of God as man is hilarious.
Okay.
When you think of Jesus, think of the sun, the flaming sun. That's where they stole this concept from. Stop believing and read your Bible logically.
Yeah.
The New Testament is really old astrology. Jesus is the Son of God, no lie.
Yeah.
But they might be talking about the sun up in the sky. The sun that hangs on the cross of the zodiac. The zodiac with 12 signs to be exact.
Yeah.
Each sign is a house, and you should keep in mind each house equals a period of time.
Hey.
The time, 2,000 years, and that's a fact. It's called an age or a house in the zodiac. The 12 disciples are 12 months to reason. The four gospels signify the four seasons. When Jesus fed the multitude with two fishes, it signifies the age of Pisces, not fish on dishes. If you read the Bible astrologically, it's clearer.
Yeah.
The next age will be the age of the water bearer. It's called the age of Aquarius,
word.
When logic and truth will take care of us. So in this age of spiritual dignity, you'll see a rise in femininity and creativity.
Word.
That's what masculinity. You got to get with me. This is your true her story.
Re.
Do you want to go higher?
Welcome back to Sign of the Times, everyone. We're going to go ahead and open up the mic. Peace, Brother Mandela Khan. How you doing tonight?
Beautiful weather in the hood. A lot of people are up to no good, but we're on course for something spectacular. And I just appreciate being able to say some things that may not have ordinarily been said, but somebody's got to say it. And this political climate in which you had the sister on, these volumes to our exciting and yet most dangerous times. You know, if we look at the political climate of the whole country, it's a wonderful feeling to know that there are a lot of people trying to get in where they fit in. They're just going to have to open up their filters and get online, because there's some horrifying things that I guess we won't talk about. Maybe many of us don't know, or we've got them in another language. But looking at the political climate, and some people will call it mass incarceration. We call it genocide and war crimes and cruel and unusual punishment, placing our people in gulags and rostogs and concentration camps because of the specific exact crimes against the women and children, where on the front of the building it might say something like correctional facility to rehabilitate or some things of that nature, but we don't look at the etymology of those words or really look at what it's saying. In other words, black people need correction, you know, and not only blacks, but the poor workers and poor peasants, they need correction, particularly African people. And for me, that's horrifying for us to use that language, us, ourselves. There does need some punishment to be handed out, but it's clearly not us. And not the workers and poor peasants. If you look at the actions of politically, if you lay the map of the world out, the craziest uncle on the planet named Sam. And I keep saying that because this is the reality that we confronted with, that us as blacks make up 1% of the population. Then if you add the whole, who's all in the United States of America, that's 5%. That's the real 5%. And if you look at the other nations as it relates to Uncle Sam, then you can see the catch 22 that we are in, because genocide that's going on in all of our names. As long as we have all this division, you know, we won't never get to the point of order, which is a revolutionary revelation. And we do have to have a total complete change. That's what a revolution is. But just looking at the whole format as it's laid out, and coming from George Washington, George Bush, or to this guy who sits in the white people's house right now, if we have to think that the two choices we have is Satan or the devil, and we're going to wind up in hell no matter which choice we make, that's almost horrifying for me to even consider some mental illness or mind control that would have any of us think that we're going to have to deal with the devil, which is Donald Duck. And he's not a politician, but if you can look at his campaign itself, it's based on mischief, mayhem, chaos, confusion, hatred, contention, and straight out and out terrorism. I mean, this is an extortion. You know, talking about RICO statutes and organized crime, this is all supposed to have been by the government wiped out, right? But now the government has taken on this role of straight out and out state-sponsored terrorism, to where any opposition or anyone who wants to go sit down and, you know, try to have a word of mouth with this guy in open session, African people, women, and everything, just beat up, you know, threatened, even with death, you know, just to go into a open session to interact on a political time. So that's very, very dangerous by the devil itself, Uncle Sam. And this guy's not a politician. Then we got to deal with the Wicked Witch of the West, who most of us on the ground know that her husband and this, we're going to end welfare as we know it. His policies, as it came out from the Just Say No campaign of the Reaganomics and all that. Then we go into the Bush Clinton. I mean, if black people, African people, and indigenous people, and workers and poor peasants honestly think that we're going to get some good out of going behind closed doors and making some kind of decision, we are definitely out of our minds. So it always said in the old African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. But if we got a crazy-ass village across the board, now we see why this generation coming behind us is made to win the mother of all battles, because we're not dealing with no ethics and morals. I don't care how old we are as elders. Tell our people, voter registration, voter education, and we got these two choices. Then we can throw Bernie Sanders in there. Now, we might think that we're getting a little difference out of him, but he's not going to be there, just like this guy, Donald Duck, is not even going to be elected into office because of the stuff the disease going. You know, he's going to cause more terror than Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden or whatever you say happened, 9-1-1, about 16, 17 years ago. But the point of order for us is that we're the most politically backwards people in this country I've ever seen. And there's no way that we can get a quid pro quo. A quid pro quo is when you put your ballot in that you got something for something. You know, we go in behind closed doors and say, well, look, we don't like these bad white people. And then we go and say, well, look, well, let's put some good black ones in there. Not recognizing it's the system, stupid. And I say that because that's, oh, come on, you know, it's stupid. I'm saying it's the social system itself. We didn't have 10,000 elected officials all across this country. We got about 8,000 or 6,000 somewhere in there now. And look at where it's got us. Look at where we are.
No, hold on, Brother Mandelicon. Hold on, Brother Mandelicon. Whose fault is that, though? Whose fault is that? I mean, except for ours, that we haven't been strong enough, that our men haven't stood up enough, that our women haven't stood up enough, that it took the youth to stand up enough to say enough is enough of this bullshit. So we can't continue to complain about the system if we aren't doing anything to fix the system, if we aren't willing to get out here and say, you know what, even though there's a certain amount of energy that's being put forth with campaigns, there's a certain amount of energy that's being put forth with people saying that they represent our best interests. I mean, we've all been there, done that, and we all have the T-shirt at this stage in the game, especially if we call ourselves elders, okay? But just like the Aberisha was saying last night who was on, it is up to us to take even the negative energy and use it to our advantage. And one of the things that we don't do on Sign of the Times, the New Power Radio Network, is continue to give power to the bullshit that we're being bombarded with. What we do here at Sign of the Times is talk about what we're going to do to fix it, what we're going to do to problem solve, what we're going to do to coalesce, what we're going to do to find some unity, and what we're going to do to save ourselves. So, you know, everybody, any and everybody who has a television, radio, internet, social media, or anything else knows the candidates, knows they're full of shit, and knows that it's up to us to do something about it. Now, what are we going to do to fix it?
It's where we all are. Because either you do want freedom, justice, and independence, or you don't. Either you will get up out of your seat and on your feet and into the streets for freedom, justice, or independence, or you don't want it. We can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool the creator none of the time. This is different than anything we've ever faced before. It's different because genocide has never been used as a political platform for us to offer in opposition, try to, can we say, fix a cancer or fix something that was not started like they said. We want to make America white again. Now, that's a political term. When you say we want to make America white again, then here's the majority of us, based on their numbers, we'll say, well, we're a minority. But no, we're not. So politically, what I'm saying, now, what can we do? We've got to face the truth in the politic of it all. And it has to do with all of us who have participated in our own genocide. We didn't recognize that up until now. And now we're at the end of this game. That's why you see the two candidates for the what they call it, the commander-in-chief. Commander-in-chief. But the stolen legacy is us. And we have been continuously, for the recent of times, last, I say since up from Reconstruction, trying to eke out a place in it. Or even after that, trying to work on our own. And then
I don't think that's what we're
in the room. Go ahead.
That's not what we're trying to. We don't give a damn about fitting into their system.
Well, again, we got to go on our own. You know, remember Garvey, so forth, so on. And they keep changing the rules every time we set a standard for ourselves that will give us this so-called justice that once they come in here, they keep changing the rules on these European alien, European invaders who got superior weapons. And for the life of me, we're at the end of the game, and that recognition has to take place by all those who really feel the pain. If you don't feel the pain, then you won't take recognition for, hey, we're about to be wiped out. And we have documentation to prove so much that we won't even share the information to listen to people. We got to do something we've never done before. Whatever we've done in the past, it got us to here. And we can clearly see that something extraordinary is happening when we can look at everybody under kill or be killed. Got to be some MK Ultra mind control that snaps people out to do the things that they're doing today, and it's triggering to get worse and worse, and it's just started getting warm. So it's not really gotten hot. But if we talk about all of the local things that's happening in all of our cities, I bet you if everybody open up and tell the truth, the whole truth or nothing but, they will tell you, I see something eerie. But they may not be able to pinpoint it because they haven't studied enough politically about MK Ultra and mind control, you know? On the barbecue last night in Pittsburgh, 5 dead, 4 women and 1 man at a barbecue because it's nice and warm in Philadelphia. I don't know what happened yesterday or Tuesday in Philadelphia, but 6 bodies in just one day in Philadelphia, you might not say, well, that's not a whole lot of people. Yes, it is. When you look at the fact that it's not even gotten warm, and these people were supposedly sane, average people. We don't know if they done got the chip somewhere when they went to sleep or operation, but we do know that MK Ultra and mind control is absolutely real. So that means that I could be a nice, normal guy today, come around y'all, we be talking about, then all of a sudden I snap and start going crazy on my own people. This is unprecedented, sister. So if we don't recognize that there's a temporary internal mental illness inside of us, we won't be able to find the cure. So that's where we are right now. We have to look at the fratricide, homicide, and suicide that's internally eating us up so much that it's hard to tell a good Negro from a bad Negro. So if we don't answer that first and foremost, we're in for something that I know that is so horrifying that it's no use to me even talking about because people won't even believe it. But that's internally what we all can see, you know?
You know where I think we are? I think it's time for us to either shit or get off the pot. I think it's time for us to decide that we have had enough, and I think it's time for us to do everything we possibly can to show and prove that. That's where I think we are. I think that this is the best time that we could possibly be in as a group of people. We have things that are at our fingertips that we've never had before. We've got bonds and unity and coalitions being built in the ways that they've never been built before. And true enough, you know, if we are foolish enough to not learn from the mistakes that some of our ancestors and our elders have made and learn from them, then we can't blame anybody but ourselves. We can't blame nobody but ourselves. And it's gonna take some sacrifice. It's gonna take, you know, some spiritual sacrifice. But most of all, it's gonna take for us to find our power again inside of us first. Because we have to be our first and foremost God first, you know, or we ever have any spiritual strength. We have to be our own God first, and then all the other things will come into play. And it's a process. And there are those of us who are farther along than others, but those of us who are a little bit farther along, it's up to us to reach back and grab somebody else. And it's up to them to reach back and grab two or three more people. And we keep grabbing folks. That's how we're going to build this thing. That's how we've been building this thing. You know, people have come to the table through a Sign of the Times and the UAC. Oh, yeah, I can do this. Oh, yeah, I'm willing to do that. But where are they now? They all starting something else from scratch all over again, brand new, and they're going to have to regain all of that momentum, whereas if we had problem solved, if we had talked to one another, if we had found some solutions to the little hiccups that we've had, then we all would still be at the table. So this is just a process, Brother Mandela Khan. And I miss Brother December something fierce, but one thing that I don't miss about Brother December is him talking about how fucked up our condition is. You know, see how bad we got it. But we only have it this bad because we choose to have it this bad, even when it is bad times. You know, even when it is bad times, we're going to have to make some sacrifices, and it's going to take sacrifices of time, energy, resources, and assets. And I mean A-S-S-E-T assets, you know, from all of us. So, you know, I'm excited about what the future holds. I'm excited about having this new friendship with Kelly. I'm excited that we met on the battlefield for Brother Sam DuBose. You know, we met on the battlefield. The video that she shot of me speaking in front of the prosecutor's office now has something like 11,000 views. And, you know, that's incredible because it focused the attention not on me, but the conditions here in this city. You know, Philadelphia is one of the most deeply rooted racist cities that there is, but it also is the city where slaves have been set free even when it comes to the prison institution. And because we don't have enough people at the table that give a damn, we can't get the information to the other cities that need it. It's right there in front of our face. The We Charge Genocide document is right there in front of our faces. But people are so consumed with their egos and that kind of thing that get it where. So, you know, it's nobody's fault at this point but our own. So if anybody has anything else that they would like to contribute, please feel free to push one, and I'll open up your mics. Peace. This is Brother Dot T. How you doing tonight?
Peace, Queen.
Peace, God.
Power. Peace to the King, General Mandela Khan, and all of the listeners. I'm sitting here listening to the dialogue. And, you know, I'm of that same sentiment, sis. You know, we, especially dealing with, as Brother Mandela Khan was stating about Mr. Trump, you know, that we are not allowed to get in there and things of that nature, you know, and our women, you know, being handled and things of that nature. You know, we're allowing this to happen, you know, and it's like, you know, these people are showing and proving that they're willing to go to any extent beyond. You know, they're willing to transgress beyond, you know, all boundaries in order to get their point across, in order for them to be successful in their endeavors. And we have to get on that same footing. You know, Sister Hillary Clinton, you know, that little witch, you know, it was her husband who came up with the Habitual Felony Offender Act, you know, the three strike law that, you know, gives us, you know, all of this time. Based upon petty offenses, after you've committed your third offense, you know, being subjected to possibility of a life sentence in the event that you have three felonies, one of them being a Class A or a Class B, a Class A felony, just one of them, with your third offense being a Class B felony, almost a misdemeanor, will get your ass life without parole in the state of Alabama. So, you know, these are the very people that, you know, as Sister said, we allow for these people to do this. I mean, we have to, you know, come to a point in time to where, you know, like, enough is enough. I mean, we use truth to square away all unrighteousness. And, you know, truth is our best. It's our best weapon. Because we get to actually see it in the light for what it really is. Law governs all events. And there, you know, law brings about justice. There's, you know, justice has a reward, and justice also has a punishment. But there are certain, you know, justices, you know, rewards and punishments based upon one's works, actions, and deeds. And, you know, if someone, you know, slaps me, now there are several ways that I could handle that situation. But there is a specific law, cause and effect, that governs every event. And if you do not act upon that specific law, you are not going to receive the justice that you are due. These people have continually showed us they don't give a fuck. But we keep having reservations about how we're going to deal with them. I mean, it's almost, we make excuses for why, you know, shit is going on, why it's happening. And, you know, we tell the brothers here, you know, we eliminate, you know, negative-ass words like, you know, if and hope and try. We're going to use words like strive because people only get what they strive for. You only get what you work for. You know, you have to plan. You have to build. You have to add on, cultivate, construct, grow, develop. This is the thing. These are the type of words that we have to replace these negative words with. Because all of these, you know, we give them, like I said, we give them the power by talking about what they are doing. They can't do shit unless we allow them to. These people can come in this cell right now. They can't do anything except for what I submit to. But if I stand up in the face of death and say freedom or death ain't nothing else, then it is what it is at that time. I'm saying you got to be willing to lay down your life, and what type of sacrifice are you willing to make to be the change that you want to see? And that's what we got to ask ourselves. What sacrifices are we willing to make to be the change that you want to see? I'm saying for my people to excel and to come up out of this condition, I'm willing to take lives and lay them down, because whoever is opposing my people, they are the enemy. They have been for centuries. And we got to get this love for our enemies out of the way, and we have to remove all these things on the table that are allowing us to deal with these people accordingly to how they mishandle us. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about how they have mishandled our women. Where the hell are the brothers at? Where the armies at, man? Where the protectors at? Sisters are being murdered in the streets. Children are being murdered in the streets. And we're not doing shit. So we're supposed to complain. We're supposed to bitch. We're supposed to cry. We're supposed to get up off our ass. You guys are going to fight or flight, man. Malcolm said the bullet or the bullet. We got to give them an ultimatum. And until we do that, we're going to keep accepting this shit. And I yield.
Brother, I'd like to just respond to two things that the sister said and just weld them together. And you hear me say it a lot. We're at the right place at the right time in the right season for the right reason. And because we are, the glass is half full, we are eternal optimists. We reject the glass is half empty and be pessimists, because the system itself is working. From the Genesis, it's working on its intended purpose, and it was intended to lie, steal, and kill our shit. Make no mistake about it. That's why we're at in this revolutionary revelation, and we're seeing the new formation. Formations are bringing us together because of the reality that we all are confronted with of double jeopardy, and this is why I said we're the most politically backward. We need more lawful inclusion than this illegal, because this, what's happening to us is illegal and it's not lawful because of the double jeopardy. And if people don't know anything about double jeopardy, we mentioned 1, 2, 3 strike, then we can throw in youth being charged as adult. That's an international war crime. That's why we bring up Genesis all the time, because you can't be charged more than one time for the same offense. But yet, because of the Clintons and the Democrats and the black ones, too, who say this is our first black president, put his shades on, his saxophone, get his dicks up, you know, we freaking, too, you know, but we done sold our birthrights, and we got to own up to that. As Dr. Kwame Nkrumah said, that neocolonialism, not white power, was the last stage of imperialism. What he would mean is that they done put black faces hiding white power. That means we got black senators, black mayors, black police chiefs, black bailiffs, black prison guards. When we said back in the past, well, we don't want no Ku Klux Klan ruling over us. So now they put the Black Klux Klan in front of us. And that's a hard contradiction to realize that we drank the black Jim Jones Kool-Aid, because we thought that we could put some good black people in there and it would change our condition. And now we done went around the circle 360 degrees. Now we got two of the most Klanist motherfuckers ever, for us to make a choice. And our elders, who always going to be in the system of 501c3 and this faith-based initiative, they're going to come back 2 to 4 years and say, we've got to have a voter registration, voter education campaign. But with the war on drugs and the war on terrorism, we're not going to have no full participation in the electoral process under which it stands. Why? Because as each elder tell us to sign up and register and vote, for them 2 to 4 years, the Blue Cross Klan be running rampant in our community. The people who do the ethnic cleansing, the people who don't fund certain things, the what they call appropriation and allocation committees in these cities, these municipalities and counties, they voting against taking everything away from them. Matter of fact, they wiping out the schools. Probably ain't been a high school built nowhere in none of our cities, but yet there's probably been 2 prisons inside there. So somebody's appropriating and allocating the budget to attack us. So we're getting the worst bang for our buck. So we got to realize that the neocolonialist is the last stage of this struggle. And it's being realized, because now more and more increasingly, more people want freedom, justice, and independence. So looking at the reality that we confronted with, we got the right ingredient, but it's got to be brought to the center in every local municipality, until we build enough numbers to go full-fledged, freedom or death, as you say. and we get some superior numbers to put this nation in season, we're going to have to shut them down. We're going to have to in order to get a redress. And if we're not, then the meat grinder, the carnivorous flesh eater, it's already threatened that, look, we can increase this death rate on your ass. So we're in a death march against ourselves, and now we got the life forces on the ground. That's you barking, speaking truth to power. Team No Fear. We got all these, new black gun clubs. We got the RBG this, the new Black Panthers. And what we see is we got these guns in the air, or we posting on Facebook, or we going to the gun range trying to see who's going to shoot the bullseye. But Uncle Sam is the bullseye. Uncle Sam's the bullseye. So we don't have to act like we don't see where the target is. You know, if our blood is being swayed all up through the streets, then we got to have a time when we either all go and bleed or nobody bleed. And where we at right now, people, and it's a sad reality, but it's a goofy one, that we're under kill or be killed, and we're going to have to put the policy on the ground for equal reward and equal punishment to where we all go and bleed in order for us to stop the bleeding. Because if we think, for one reason, that we don't take some of these butter knives, these spears, these damn hatchets, or fucking chains, or golf clubs, or whatever we knocking the hell out of each other with bricks and whatever we use it, if we don't see that, we got to internally say, look, only way we're going to come together and get what we are ours is that we're going to have to go on a political redress. And that got to be, everybody got to tell the truth. Everybody got to say that they're unifying. And everybody got to say that Uncle Sam is the pusher man, and Uncle Sam is a genocidal monster that got to be stopped. We say that and mean it, then we get a redress, because the legislature is the one that unleashes the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines on our people outside the country. And it's that same legislature that unleashes the Blue Cross Klan on our people and does not fund education in our sector, does not fund a quality of way of life, but they do fund these new secret hidden camp that's in rural America. This is what finances the white people to have jobs. The new cotton is what? The drug war. And we're the ones who's getting double jeopardized on it, because we can't have no national democratic rights as long as the drug war is allowed to go forward. So this is where our point of...
We're not going to stay on for the entire broadcast tonight, but I just want to say something real quick. I believe my glass is full. Matter of fact, my glass runneth over. Okay? See, just like Brother Dottie said, we have to be aware. And even the Alvarisha affirmed this last night. We have to be aware how we use words, because words have power. Okay? So I refuse to look at a glass as being half empty, half full, half anything. Our cup runneth over, okay? That's the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing is true enough, as we said, there are some politicians who have made careers out of duping the hell out of us. But we, on the other hand, have not held them accountable. We want to fit in. Too many of us want to fit in. Too many of us want to be invited to the parties. Too many of us want the little pussy grants that they give us, $1,000 here, $5,000 here. We're willing to settle for crumbs. Too many of us want the notoriety. Too many of us care about our faces being in the paper. Too many of us have sold ourselves out. So again, we go back to the point, whose responsibility is it to change this thing except for ours? Except for ours. We have everything that we need. And you can't say that, Brother Mandelicon. You always talk about us having everything we need and being at the right place at the right time doing the right things, but yet taking your energy to validate the things that they've done to us, the things that they've used to victimize and target us, you know. So I just want you to please think about it, you know. I know that you're a very intelligent brother, and I do give you credit when credit is due, You know, you work hard for us. You work hard for the people. You work hard for New Power. You work hard for Pain. You work hard for the Royal Family Network. You work hard for FAM. And we want you to keep that energy going. And we need that. We really do. We need your voice at the table. But you also have to realize that if we keep doing the same things that we always done, we're going to always get the same results. And our children and our children's children cannot afford to let that happen. So just be aware, you know, just be aware. And every day is an opportunity for us to have a slightly stronger paradigm shift. All of us should strive for that daily. All of us have all the power that we need in our hands and within ourselves. We just have to learn how to use it. So for those of us who light candles and burn incense and meditate, that shit's working. For us, for those of us who get out here and listen to frequency tones and get in touch with nature, walk barefoot, trust me, it is working. ISIS is working. You know, we've got the politicians out here giving us the impression that ISIS is a negative thing. And as the Aberisha affirmed last night, they are doing that to distract us. We need to cling on to the higher powers right now. We need to make sure that we're absorbing the energy that they're sending to us because they're sending it to us. All we have to do is be open to it. If our brothers who are incarcerated can get it, can feel it, can know it, can see it, can taste it, and can speak about it, why are so many of us still walking around here like the walking dead, like we're zombies? And everybody always got something fucking fly to say when it's time to do some work. I'm sick of that, especially when it comes to our men. We've got brothers out here who make good money on a daily basis and always talking about how fucking broke they are. We got to get rid of that kind of language. We got to get rid of that kind of mentality. We got to get rid of that mindset. Or our brothers are never going to be as strong as they could be, as we need them to be as black women. We need y'all. They're taking y'all away from us. You know, either they're doping you up, they're locking you up, or they're fucking you up, literally. And we cannot afford that anymore. We just can't. You know, and I know I'm probably, like, really emotional right now, but we just can't. We don't have time. We don't have time, y'all. We don't. So I yield.
You know, I'm feeling the pain in your voice. And to put this in perspective, let me just might as well go on and throw it all or nothing. And we need 11 million people, Fast and Furious, or there's two realities, freedom, justice, and independence. And you figure it out on how you equate it to be what it is, 11 million people. Freedom, justice, and independence, or civil war and FEMA camps. Ain't no in between. So I know I'm not going to be privileged to give the full plate of the good news that's in store for us if we follow the clause. And the clause is that W-O-N-ness, oneness, and that is where we will W-O-N once we come O-N-E. O-N-E is the first thing. And it's not going to be because I'm smart or you dumb or I'm politically correct and you're not. It's going to be to save our soul, because it's not going to be nothing I say, you or anybody, that's right now going to change the reality, because we got this weapons of mass distraction. But it's going to be Uncle Sam himself. Uncle Sam himself is going to show each and everyone, including me, I'm not going to be on here talking like this much longer. This is the plan, y'all. Their plan is total annihilation. Total annihilation of us. And our plan is what? Life more abundantly. So the glass is not half full, it's full. Okay? Our cup runneth over. Now, what we're going to have to do, fast and furiously, is accumulate as many numbers as we possibly can to avert the Civil War and those 800 FEMA camps that's got 30,000 guillotines in them. And they call them coffin liners, but if you put any coffin beside those things, and those things that they got stored up is capable of holding 3-4 bodies, minimum, 3-4 bodies. So they're not coffin liners. And those guillotines ordered from. I forgot the nation that they came from, but I could get the record on where they came from. But they're placed cleverly around all the cities where African people are. So just like Hurricane Katrina, that was a test to see what we was going to do. We didn't do anything. Just like the water, when genocide should be on the lips of everyone in Michigan. We are not doing what we're supposed to do. But Uncle Sam himself is going to show us that I'm not going to be on here much longer talking. And none of us are. Either we're going to do this while we got time, while we can interact with each other and got the communications to do so, or we're going to have to do whatever we're going to do on the run. And that's the reality we're confronted with. So we haven't had all the information to see what we're actually dealing with this. And once we actually see what we're actually dealing with, you're going to see a whole bunch of people try to do whatever they can to get their asses out of this genocide, because that's exactly the reality that we all are confronted with, no matter what we say to each other. And the only problem we got right now is that we won't say all hands on deck and explain what that means. That means that we all need each other now, and we got to come together to save our soul, because we're not fighting for a right to sit next to somebody to go to school or to build a church or a mosque. We're fighting for our lives, people, and this is some serious, serious stuff. We've never been here where they wanted to just wipe us off the goddamn planet in this country, and they are set poised to do so. And if we don't believe this, you don't have to, but you got to go study the political destiny of where we've got to go, and that means we've got to get in each other's arms, and we ain't going to like each other right now, but we're going to love the results. And, you know, I done said enough on that, but we right there, y'all, and I don't know what it's going to take, but I do know that Uncle Sam is going to show us that, yeah, you're going to do it, and you're going to do it, or else we're going to do you. And that's the reality we're confronted with. So we can act like we don't see this time of the year. It's strange and eerie because we haven't gotten to that, you know, the long, hot summer, you know. So, you know, everybody's saying it's going to be another election, but I'm telling you, this is the last emperor. This is the last president, people. You got to realize this is the last president.
Okay. All right, Brother Mandelicon, thank you. Brother Dati, I'm going to let you have the last word, and we're going to go ahead and close out.
Peace and blessings. You know, I was sitting here, just my mind is racing. And, you know, first and foremost, Queen, you don't have to apologize for your emotions. We are endowed with emotions. And people who don't allow for their emotions, not saying that we not should not control them, but for those who do not utilize them, period, I don't trust them. Because you're cutting off your passion. You're cutting off your spirit. That's what's wrong with us. We're too damn calm. We want to be too cool. For those leaders who are politicians and police officers, those, you know, as the brother said, the black Klansmen, they got to be dealt with. We gotta stop, you know, allowing for these brothers to get away with something. See, when you become in a leadership position, it's one thing when you don't know better. But we have a show tonight that when you know better, you expect it to do better. Yeah, I can handle a leader fucking up before he knows better. But when you know better and you fuck up, it's off with your head. That's what we got to have, because you have the youth are looking up to the leaders. And when you see a leader fuck up and then someone come and try and justify, well, he's just a man. No, he's fucked up after he knew better. And that's the only thing that I'm trying to tell people constantly. Yeah, we had leaders in the past and they made mistakes, but I'm talking about after they knew better, that shit unacceptable. And it's unacceptable today for politicians, for police who are black, our representatives, for us, the people, after all the shit that we've been through, for them to be into that seat, that means they know better. And we got to start holding their ass accountable. I'm talking about to the extreme. You fuck over us and your ass out of here. That's what it's got to be. until we can get the people into a mind state of understanding that zero tolerance. Then we'll be able to go with a more subtle approach with them, because then it will already be embedded in their heart and their mind that if I get out of line, I understand that justice is going to take its course. But until we are willing to, you know, stand on that type of line, listen, we're wasting our time. And we don't waste time. We don't waste time. We build. As you said, we grow. We improve. This is what we're about. We have to, in order to destroy the negative, you have to build the positive. Building the positive destroys all negativity. And the truth destroys all negativity. And the truth is the only thing that will free us. And the truth is some people are going to die on both sides in this struggle for our independence. And that's the truth. Look at what happened in Egypt when they came out. They're not even from that land. But when the people rose up, as Mandela Khan said, but look what they had to do. Look at the sacrifices that they made for freedom and independence. From Hosni Mubarak, from the Brotherhood, look at what they did. They didn't do that shit without nobody losing their lives. Some people had to die, and we got to get ready for that. It's going to be either us or them. That's the truth. Now, yield.
All right. Thank you, Brother Dati. Thank you, Brother Mandela Khan. And we appreciate Sister Kelly Prather for taking the time to join us tonight. And, you know, we're going to get this thing right. You know, we only have one life to live, you know. So why not live it to the fullest? Why not live it in a justified, righteous manner, trying to address the things that we know need to be addressed, accomplishing the goals that we know need to be accomplished, and looking at ourselves as our best solution for the problems that we have. You know, we got to make the best out of a bad situation, and that's not just a lyric in a song. You know, we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our children, and we owe it to the ancestors and the elders in the community that have made sacrifices in order for us to even be able to get this far. So, you know, we're going to keep on striving, we're going to keep on keeping on. And the more of us that put out this kind of energy, the more of us that are going to start to be gravitated towards one another. And when we see it, it's up to us to act on it. When an opportunity comes to engage people in the power movement, we need to engage them. When we make eye contact with another brother or sister, it is up to us to greet them properly and address them properly with mutual respect and address them as our brother, as our sister. You know, and it starts with the small things, you know, but even an avalanche starts with a snowflake, y'all, you know, and we can break a snowflake down even farther than that, you know. So all of this energy is not going to waste. You know, the ancestors hear us, our children hear us, and the people hear us, and trust and believe they have our back. We've got some things going on here in Cincinnati that I want to bring to the listeners' attention. We had a court case yesterday where two police officers were acquitted from one of their fellow officers was intoxicated, ran over a black woman and killed her right down the street from where I was excommunicated and gentrified from on West McMicken Avenue. It happened on Central Parkway Avenue. Their fellow officers picked this guy up and took him to the district where he could, I guess, sober up. And they were in court yesterday to face charges for doing so and were acquitted. So that not only sends a certain message to the state and to the police, but it sends a message to her family, to the victim's family, to the community, and very few people in this city are speaking up, but I happen to be one of them. And we cannot continue to allow these kinds of injustices to take place, especially, you know, considering what happened here in 2001 with the uprisings after the execution of our beloved brother Timothy Thomas. So, you know, we're planning on initiating some things to acknowledge that 15th anniversary of the uprising here in Cincinnati. And I ask that y'all send us as much positive energy as you possibly can, because I don't know what may happen. You know, and I'm just going to be honest, I don't know what may happen. But all I know is that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I wish that more of our black men in this city would stand up, and that it wasn't so many of us sisters out here in the forefront. But you know what? If I got to pull up them bootstraps, you better believe I'm going to get right fast. So I ask that y'all please pray for us. Pray for our children, pray for our city, because we're going to need that energy, y'all. So until tomorrow with Brothers of the Sun, this is Queen Tahira. I'm signing out. Peace.
Hey! Got to pay back. Revenge. Don't do me no done favor. I don't know karate.
need those hits. I need those hits. Hit me.
Da 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 da